Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the star.
G'day, it's Tan from Oz and welcome to Go For Gold. Go For Gold is a place where you as a listener can find advice, tips and strategies to overcome life and business challenges so that you too can go for your own golden moment. Now remember, you can always call in and talk to our guests on 646-716-7979. That number, if you missed it, 646-716-7979. And today we're talking about managing stress with Angela Council. Angela Council is the author of Secret Mum's Business. Welcome, Angela.
Hi, Tan. How are you?
I'm great. Absolutely fabulous. And I should be saying that I'm de-stressed.
Oh, but are you?
I like to think so, this week anyway. Now, Angela, you're a business lifestyle coach for female entrepreneurs, and you've worked as a clinical naturopath for 10 years. That's correct?
That is. That's me.
That's you. And now you've got a really interesting story, Angela, because within the first 12 months of your business, you were turning over $250,000. And that continued for 3 years, but you found yourself getting more stressed and more stressed. So you decided to close your business completely. Take us through
that story. Not completely. I did change my business. So what happened was I used to work in the corporate sector. I was in finance and IT, and then I got out of that. Went and studied to be a naturopath. And then when I got out of, finished my university degree, I rented a room from one, from a chiropractor for a couple of years. And then I opened my own big clinic. And that was my multimodality clinic, one-stop natural health center for new mums. And that was very, very successful. That's the business that kind of took off. There was obviously a really big need for it in the first year. We were turning over $250,000, making profits in the first year. It was very, very successful, very well known in the area. Lots of referrals. I had 8 practitioners working in the center. I had yoga and Pilates in there. My own practice was in there as well. And I actually had practitioners who worked directly for me. So I employed naturopaths and nutritionists. So it was very, very successful. But yeah, behind the scenes, things weren't going quite so well. I had 2 young children. I was suffering from mother guilt because I wasn't with my kids and I was building my business. I was teaching new mums how to look after themselves, but I wasn't looking after myself properly. I wasn't eating properly. I was drinking wine every night. I wasn't sleeping properly. I wasn't doing anything that I was recommending to my clients. So I kind of felt like a bit like a fraud. And at the end of 3 years, my lease was up and I kind of had to decide what I was going to do. Was I going to continue doing what I was doing at the rate I was doing it and the way I was doing it? And I knew I couldn't keep that up because there was very little left at that stage in me. I struggled to get out of bed. So what I did was I changed the business. So rather than being so large, I went to smaller premises and I continued to practice, but it was just me and a nutritionist. So it was a lot smaller and I did that for a couple of years. But I'd lost my passion for what I was doing. I lost my reason for why I was doing things and I fell out of love with my business. So after 2 years of doing that, that's when I actually closed the doors completely and walked away from all of it try and work out what it was I was going to do. And that was when I realized that I actually had emotional burnout and I had to get through that first before I could actually take the next step.
Now, Angela, you said that it left you feeling like a fraud, a failure.
Yes, so, very much so.
How does somebody how does somebody go from you know, being at the top of their game, as you obviously were, and having things spiral out of control and feeling so overwhelmed and having so much on their plate that they actually basically sort of, I guess, did you feel like you hit rock bottom?
Yeah, well, I had very little left in me. I'd burnt myself out. I had no energy and I had no enthusiasm or anything for what I was doing. And I definitely wasn't, I wasn't a very good mom and I wasn't a very good partner. And how do you go? I think going from there, the thing is, when we look at people's businesses from the outside, everything always looks good. And that was it. People were saying to me, oh, you're doing so well, you're doing so great, you're doing all this stuff. From the outside, everything looked fantastic. But the problem is when you actually dig behind that, there's, you know, quite often there are cracks. And that's because when we go into business, when I went into business, I went in there with a bit of an ideal of what I thought business was going to be about. Now, I actually have, as I said, I came out of corporate, but I also have a business degree. So I kind of thought, well, I know how to do this stuff because I know I've studied, I'm an accountant, I've got all this business knowledge behind me, but that's all it was knowledge. It was just books and what you're learning in real life. But I kind of thought, well, how hard can it be? And it wasn't until I got out there and realized it was friggin' hard. Like, yeah. Harder than I'd ever imagined anything could possibly be. Because you think that when you go into business that everybody wants what you've got to sell. And it's not that way. And I think it's even harder now because there's so much noise in the market because of social media and all of that. And when I kind of started, it was right at the very beginning of social media that wasn't around. And it's like, but it was like, how do you find your clients? How do you get out there? And I don't think you realize when you very first start business that how difficult it is to actually start to get those clients in.
That's absolutely true. And I don't know anybody in business who would disagree with you. And I guess it takes me to one of the questions that one of our Facebook readers, Alana, who's the creator of the self-love movement, asked on Facebook. She said, what's your secret to balance? Because you mentioned earlier about that it was hard to get out of bed, that you weren't a good mom, you weren't a good partner. So obviously the balance wasn't there and you had nothing to, because you were trying to give so much to everything and everyone.
Everybody else, yep. Well, number one, I wrote a whole book on this. Secret Mum's Business is all about work-life balance. And the first thing I tell you is that there is no such thing. There is no such thing. Because if you think of what balance is where you want everything, everything's got to be equal. And I don't believe that it can be equal. But what I do believe in is harmony. Let's work out how we make it all work together. There's going to be times where you're going to be focusing on your business more than your family. There's going to be other times when you're going to shift that focus away from your business to your family or to your health or to any other aspect of your life. And if you're trying to give everybody equal parts of everything, it just doesn't work. For the split second that it actually all comes together and everything's in balance, then all of a sudden it just falls out of balance. And I think that that's one of the things that myth of work-life balance is what sets up a lot of women for failure because they think, well, you know, these people have got work-life balance. Why don't I have it? The thing is, you can't. You just can't have work-life balance. But I do believe that you can make it all work together. And what works for you will work differently for someone else. And the other thing is people say, oh, well, you can't have it all. Well, I actually do believe you can have it all, but my all is different to your all. And it's bringing it back to is what is it that I want and, you know, where do I want to make all this work together? You know, and being, you know, because many of the women I work with, you know, I work with women, many of them are mums, and this is one of the big things is, well, how do I juggle all of this stuff? And I think, well, the number one thing I tell them is just get rid of the guilt. Because guilt serves no one anything and it's just a wasted emotion. Just accept that right at this moment, I need to be focusing on this particular thing. Now, in 10 minutes' time, my focus might be somewhere else, but at this moment, this is what I need to focus on. And just really bringing yourself back to now and let go of anything you've done in the past, because you can't change it and there's no point having regrets about it. It is what it is. And don't worry about the future, because you actually don't know what's going to happen in the future. Whatever you think is going to happen in the future is only your imagination. And until you get there, you really don't know what's going to happen. So, yeah, it's like, I don't really think we can have balance, but I think we can make it all work together for each individual person.
Yes, and I really like the fact that everybody's journey is different and everybody's wants and needs are different. I would just like to ask you about something that you said a little earlier, where you mentioned about sometimes there's going to be more time that you need to spend on your business and sometimes more time you need to spend on your family. Now, how do you actually get the message across to your family that, hey, this is not going to be your time right now. I need to be working on a project or I need to be running my business. How do you actually communicate that when they're wanting things?
I think that's just letting them know, you know, and if you've actually planned things out in advance, you know, depending on what type of business you're in, you know, if you're in like a coaching business where maybe you're launching different programs and things like that and you're going into a launch period, well, maybe that's actually just making sure that your family knows in advance, okay, for the next month I'm going to be launching this program, which means I'm going to need to devote a bit more time to that. But let's plan something for once it's launched, and it's a bit of a celebration for you because you've launched it, and also a celebration for them and a thank you for them that, you know, they can say, okay, well, I know for the next month, you know, mum's going to be tied up with this, but she has promised that we're going to do X, Y, Z, or we're going to go away for a weekend or whatever. So then they can actually see that there's times that you are going to be in your business and times when you're not. And I do think that, I think it's actually good for children to actually see that they don't get all of their attention all of the time. You know, my kids will sometimes walk up to me and they'll, you know, my daughter, she does it all the time and she says, I want this now, I want this now. It's like, well, okay, you can't actually have it right now because I've got to finish what I'm doing. In 10 minutes' time, I'm available. Now, she's 11 and she understands that, but she doesn't like it. But she does have to learn that I'm not always going to be available to fix her issues as soon as she wants them. And she can actually start to work through some of that stuff herself. So, well, what can you do to get that fixed before I have to do anything? But I think communication is the big thing. Just really knowing and planning your time out will make it a lot easier.
Yes, I fully agree with that. And the fact too that there is something in it for them at the end of the day, I think is a real important point, because a lot of people may not be giving their family the opportunity to have something to look forward to as, like you said, a celebration. I love that idea. Thank you.
Well, I think that even as business women, we don't celebrate enough. We don't celebrate what we've done. We launch a program and then we just move on to the next thing. Or, you know, we do something and we just say, okay, well, I've done that, let's just move on. We don't celebrate enough anyway. And I'm as guilty as that as anybody. And, you know, actually just taking that stop and going, okay, well, and even if you just do a little bit of a mini dance in your office or whatever, hey, I just achieved that. A great mentor of mine, what he told me about was Andrew Griffiths. And he has a celebration board. So he has a whiteboard, and at the end of every week, he writes down every single thing that he's achieved so that by the time he gets to the end of the year, he's got this board that's full of all these things he's achieved, because most of the time you get to the end of the year and you think you haven't done anything, but if you actually look at all those little things, then you actually realise that you are moving forward. And I was doing that for a while, and now that I think of it, I should actually do it again, because it does kind of keep you going. And when you think, oh, everything's going wrong, when you actually look at that, you can actually say, hang on, no, I did that last week and I did that and I did that. So it's not all that bad.
That's great. And that's funny you bring up Andrew Griffiths. I was with him on the weekend.
Yes, I know you were.
He wrote the big book of small business. He's an amazing guy.
He's written many, many books. He was my, when I wrote my book, he was my book writing mentor.
Oh, fantastic. That's great. Listen, Angela, Petra Williams from Women on Fire Australia, she gave a really good question on Facebook. And she says, stress comes from overwhelm and lack of planning, which you touched on. Stress can be a motivator as well. So how do I turn anxiety stress into motivating stress?
Okay, let's take a step back and actually I'll explain to you what stress is, because stress doesn't come from overwhelm. Overwhelm is a result of stress. So what stress is actually a physical response within the body. So there's a part of our brain which is called the primitive part of the brain, the reptilian part of the brain, and it's the oldest part of our brain, and it is on alert all of the time looking for anything that could be threatening to life. So it's always on alert. And what it does is any time that it detects that anything could be could threaten life, is it actually changes the way the body functions. So it releases a hormone called adrenaline. And most people have experienced the adrenaline rush where your heart beats and you breathe shallow and you get a bit jittery and maybe sweat a bit. So it releases adrenaline. And the idea of adrenaline is designed to get us out of immediate danger. So it's what we call the fight or flight response. So we either run away from the danger or we stand up and fight. Men tend to fight, women tend to run away. So in this physiological running away, and even if we're not really running away, what's happening is our heart's beating faster, it's pushing blood out to the arms and the legs so that your arms can act and legs can move, can run, you get jittery. The muscles drop a whole pile of glucose into the blood to raise your blood glucose level. Your heart rate, your blood pressure goes up. Your digestive system shuts down. Your reproductive system shuts down. Your immune system shuts down. All of these things happen when that part of the brain thinks there's any threat to life. Now, adrenaline's only a relatively short-term hormone. We don't have a lot of it. It doesn't come out for a long time. But what happens after that? If the brain still thinks that there's a bit of danger going on, it starts to release cortisol. Now, this is the hormone that we really need to be concerned about, because this is stress. When cortisol is coming out and it releases every 12 seconds for as long as the brain thinks that there's any type of threat, and that can be for years, it changes the way the body functions. So when I'm talking about stress, I'm actually talking about increased cortisol levels, and cortisol affects all of the hormones in the body. And it makes our body store fat, particularly around our tummy, makes all these different changes to our body physically. Now, the thing that actually perpetuates this increased cortisol, well, there's a few things. One is, the food we're eating and what we're and the environment we're in. Also, the thoughts that we have. Now, the thoughts are a big part of it, and what we're experiencing. And we're actually bringing experiences into this part of our brain all of the time and not realizing it. When you're watching the news, the nightly news, and you're seeing all these horrific things that are happening around the world, but it's sitting in the screen that's inside your lounge room, your brain actually thinks that's real and it's happening to you. So it's triggering a stress response because, these days on the news, they show you everything. They show you the blood, they show you the body, they show you everything. So your brain actually thinks that you're in the middle of that. So it's releasing this stress. When you go and you open up your email and you've got, 200 unread emails and you're, oh my God, that part of your brain thinks all of a sudden it's been attacked because you're looking at this overwhelm of emails that you've got to answer. So it triggers stress. If you're got thoughts going through your head that you're not good enough and all of that, that's all triggering stress within the body. And from there is where you start to get, the more your body is stressed, we actually get less blood to the brain. We can't think properly and we kind of get into this is when we get into the overwhelm, but the stress has already started before we're getting into that overwhelm. Does that make sense?
It's absolutely.
Kind of the opposite way to people, what people think what they're experiencing as stress, they're only talking about the emotional side of things, but stress is physical. Yes. And we do need the stress response to stay alive, because without that stress response, we will die. But it's the continual stress, the continual release of this hormone, which is actually impacting us. And then the way we think is a big part of it. The emotional side of it is actually a big part of it, but it's not the whole answer.
So Angela,
hopefully I answered that question.
Yeah. Oh, look, that's great. Angela, can stress then be made into a positive?
Yeah, it is, because really the physiological response to stress is the same as the physiological response to excitement. So when you're excited, you actually get this, you will know, you get excited, your heart starts to beat faster. You know, you'll breathe shallower, you'll kind of get a bit jittery. It's actually the same response. It's the exact same response in excitement as it is in stress. So it's like, okay, well, if I want to, but we can't stay in excitement all of the time. We know that. We can't stay in excitement all of the time because, once again, our body doesn't cope with all of that excess hormone that's going on. But if we're in stress, you by being present, you can actually change it. Because for me, there's only two major emotions. There's only two emotions. There's fear or there's love. And all the stuff that I'm not good enough, all this, that's all fear. And that's creating all of this, you know, the responses, physical responses, emotional responses. You can always, you've got a choice. If once you become aware, you can choose to go from fear to love by being grateful for what you've got in your life. And fear and love can't both exist in the same moment. It's one or the other.
Right. So when you're talking about making the choice, you're talking about you need to have that self-awareness first and the consciousness of where you are at the moment.
Yeah, so it is becoming very aware and becoming very conscious. But that is difficult when you're in a place whereby you're highly stressed, and you, particularly when, for so many women, and I understand this because I've been here, where you're so in your head. And you've got so much stuff going around in your head that you just can't really be aware of anything. And it takes training, it takes practice, it takes time to actually get out of your head and start to feel within your body and start to notice where you are. And the biggest tool that I've used that made that change for me was morning writing, which is something I've written about in my book. Also, Julia Cameron from The Artist's Way, she talks about it. But to dump everything that's in your head out of your head onto a piece of paper every single day, after a while, you've actually got space within your head. You're no longer full of all this talk and this chatter. And when you can find the space, that's when you can actually become aware of what's going on. And you can start to notice, and you can then actually make choice. But I think it's really difficult when you're spending all of your time in your head. And that's where I see with so many women is that they're, you know, and, you know, when I speak and they say, but how do I stop all the noise? How do I stop all the noise? And the first thing I say is just start to write it out, or just anything that's in your head, just write it down. That's the first step, because many women also can't meditate. Well, they say they can't meditate because they can't keep their mind just too busy. So I find journaling, once you can kind of get rid of a lot of stuff by journaling it, then it becomes easier to meditate. It becomes easier to quieten the mind down. So then when the mind's quiet, you can actually open up for creativity and you can find your answers. But before that, you're struggling to find answers.
Yes, and there's a lot of research to back that up too.
Yeah.
Angela, Lisa Cox, who is actually a writer from lisacox.co, you've given her one. She asked, what are your top two tips? So you've talked about journaling. What about, do you have another top tip that you
I've
like
got
to give?
Another couple that all go together, and they're really, really easy, and you can do this at any time. And it starts with breathing, because we're breathing anyway, so we might as well just breathe properly, because most people, when they're stressed, are breathing in the top half of their lungs, and they'll find that their shoulders are going up and down when they breathe, and they're really tight in their neck and shoulders. But if you actually just stop and breathe all a slow breath down to the bottom of your lungs, and an easy way to make sure you're doing that is yoga breathing. But if you just put your hands at the bottom of your ribs, and when you breathe, you want your hands to go out, say breathe in for 4, hold for 7, and then breathe out really slowly for 8. So it's actually the long out breath, because what that does, it actually slows down the cortisol release. So it actually drops down the cortisol. So along with breathing, the other thing that you can do, and you can do this at the exact same time, is to do with your posture. Is many people spend all of their time hunched over a computer, a laptop, a device or anything, and they're always in this hunched position with their shoulders forward, their chest sunk and their head down. Now, that is a real typical defensive pose, because when, you know, if you watch any animals, when they're about to be attacked, they actually curl up and curl in on themselves because they're protecting their underbelly, they're protecting their organs. And we do this too. So we push our back out to the threat and we bring our chest in to cover our organs. But when we're doing this all of the time, we're actually sending a message to that part of our brain, the primitive part of our brain, that we're actually under threat, that someone's attacking us. Now, it's not, but just our posture is telling that. So just by simply standing up with the shoulders back, the chest out, hands on your hips, and do your breaths at the same time, research has shown that if you do that for 2 minutes, that you will reduce your cortisol levels by 20%. And when you're hunched over, you're increasing cortisol by 15%. So if you know that, you know, if you've got to go into a meeting that you think is going to be stressful, if you actually stand up tall, you know, we call it the Wonder Woman pose, but basically, you know, chest up and nice and proud and looking up and do your breathing, then you'll actually lower your stress, and then you can go into the meeting and you'll be able to get clearer decisions, and you won't be speaking from emotion. You'll actually be speaking and you'll have rational thoughts. And you can do that a few times during the daytime, and that takes nothing to do. You know, standing up from your desk and breathing. And now if you can go outside and do that at the same time and put your feet on the ground and ground yourself, even better. Because when we're in nature, when we connect to nature, we are nature. If we can connect to nature with bare feet on the ground, standing there, breathing nice fresh air in, it's the ultimate. It's this, and it's so simple. It doesn't cost you anything except for a couple of minutes.
That's right. And Angela, do you have a recommendation for how long you should be, say, let's just say a lot of us sit in front of the computer, and then standing up and breathing or going outside, take that break. Is there any research to back up how long you should be working and then taking a break?
Oh, look, I'm probably the worst person to ask that question, because I will actually overwork. I am lucky because I have a dog, and every hour or so he comes and he nudges me and he wants me to play with him. So it's actually a really good okay, it's time for me to just have a break and go outside and play with him. So, you know, because otherwise I would tend to sit there and work all the time. But yeah, look, they say that the brain has got the capacity to focus on something for roughly around 25 minutes, and then you need to have a break. And that's where using things like the Pomodoro technique, I don't know if you've heard of that, Pomodoro, there's actually an app, Pomodoro means tomato. I'm not too sure why it's called Pomodoro, but you work for 25 minutes and then you give yourself a 5 minute break, and then you work for another 25 minutes and you then give yourself a 5 minute break. So just by doing that, because it's really all it's doing, what you can do is sometimes they say do two, if you've got a lot of intense work, do 2 Pomodoro. So you do 50 minutes and then 10 minutes off, but no longer than that. And when you're working, it means also turning off all your other distractions. So don't have Facebook going ding, ding, ding. Turn off your phone. Turn off, it's because every time you get a notification, you lose concentration. And you kind of go and focus on that, and can take you up to 10 minutes to get back to what you were trying to do. So, and this is one of the things, is many people are so distracted because they're being jumped everywhere with notifications going all the time. And they do this and they do that and they do this and they do that and they do that. And at the end of the day, they think, oh, well, I've actually achieved nothing. And they're completely exhausted because they've been chasing everything.
Yes. And now you've talked a lot about how to reduce your stress, which I love. Give some fantastic tips. Kevin Gammy, who's the coach and author at Growth Mentors in Australia, he asked, how could I reduce my stress and grow your business? are they one and the same? Do you need to reduce your stress levels to grow your business, or does having the increased adrenaline actually, can that actually help? What are your thoughts?
In the short term, having that increased adrenaline and cortisol may help because it kind of keeps you going and gets you a bit motivated, but it's not sustainable. So I totally believe that you need to get your stress under control if you want to grow your business in the long term. Because, you know, we can all have, I mean, and I did it. I grew a business really, really quickly, but I couldn't sustain it. Because to do that, I was actually not eating properly. I wasn't sleeping properly. I wasn't exercising properly. I was so totally involved in it, I couldn't sustain it. But now what I look in my business is everything I do is about sustainable. I may not be shooting up and making massive amounts of money in a short amount of time, but what I'm doing it is I'm doing it at a pace that it just continues to grow, and I'm not giving up myself, because my biggest thing is, why are we in business? And many people, when you talk to them and say, why are you in business? And particularly when you talk to women, well, I went into business to have freedom. I went into business to have flexibility. I went into business to, you know, create a lifestyle. But then go and talk to them and find out how many of them got flexibility, how many have got freedom, how many have got lifestyle. They're just working their butts off. And by the time it comes to the weekend, or they go on holidays and they just get sick because they just work so hard. And it's like, that's not a life, you know. And that's where I used to be. And now it's like, nah, you know, if I don't feel like working today, if I've got clients, it's a different thing. I always work with the clients. But if I don't feel like working today, and it just feels like, okay, I need to take some time off, I will. I'll go to the beach, and I might only go there for an hour. Well, I go to the beach every morning to meditate, but sometimes I'll just spend half the day at the beach, or sometimes I'll take my laptop down there, and, you know, if I get some work done, I do. But it just kind of, this working hard to be successful, I don't think it's sustainable. And the people that I know that I work with who are very successful, they're very, very, very much on, they've got to also be having a life. They've got to be enjoying themselves. They've got to be, you know, taking time off and all that type of stuff, because otherwise you will just burn yourself out. And once you've burnt yourself out, your business suffers, your relationship suffers, your health suffers, and, you know, adrenal burnout's not good.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Listen, we've had some great questions from our Facebook callers. If you're out there and you are in the US and you would like to call in, the number is 646-716-7979. For those of you who have just tuned in, we're talking to Angela Kinsel, who is the author of Secret Mum's Business. Speaking of your book, Secret Mum's Business, Angela, would you like to take us through the 7-step process to create the business and lifestyle of one's dreams?
Yes, I will. And I have to say, there's been a little bit of an update on that 7 steps, because I'm about to write a new book, and I've actually changed it a little bit. Because when I wrote Secret Mum's Business, it was in a stage after I'd basically closed my naturopathic clinic, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do. So I thought I'd write this book based on what I'd been doing at the time and what I've been my journey, and also what I've been teaching my clients. But since then, I have to say that I've grown more, I've learned more, and I realize there's a couple of things in there that need to be changed, so which is why I'm writing the new book. So the steps that I've got listed in the book is being really clear on what your values are, because what I find with many people, particularly after they've been in business for a couple of years and they've been working really, really hard to make it successful, sometimes they can lose sight of the values. And it's interesting, because I was talking to someone the other day, and she has a couple of boutiques, and because she's in overwhelm and got all this stuff going on, and she's having trouble getting the right staff and all these things going on. And I said, well, are you living in accordance with your values? And she says, what, my business values? I said, well, no, your values. I said, how different are your values from your business values? And I said, are you living in accordance with your values? And she went, no, I'm not. I said, well, that's why you're not attracting people who've got the same type of values, because you're not living them. And so that's one of the things I find is sometimes we can get so hung up on running a business that we forget our values, what's truly important to us, and we give up what's truly important to us to continue to build a business, and we do what we think we should be doing. And I did that myself. Is when I was a naturopath, I was taught the only way to be a naturopath was to go into clinic, work one-on-one, do it this way. This is the way you should do it. You should do it. You should do it. And I'm going, and I did that, but it wasn't in line with my values, because my values are more about education as opposed to giving out pills. So I wanted to be speaking more, and that wasn't what I'd been taught. So values is the first step, getting really clear on your values and making sure that your business supports your values. And if it doesn't, you how can you change your business to support your values? Because you can't really change your values. What's important to you is what's important to you. So what do you need to do in your business to make it support your values? The next step is vision, which now I call a BHAG. What's your big, hairy, audacious goal? Or what's your big vision for what it is you want in your life? And how is your business going to support that? And because a lot of people get so bogged down in the day-to-day work that they forget their vision. They forget what it is that they're trying to achieve. You know, and if they wanted freedom, they wanted, you know, some people want to be able to sit on the beach and, you know, work on their laptop and things like that. But they forget that and they spend all their time locked in an office. So getting really clear on your vision, because I think when you've got that vision, you've got something to work to, and it gives you a direction. And the next step that I wrote in my book, and this is the bit where I'm thinking that I know that I need to change, is I spoke about goals and, you know, setting goals that get you in line with your vision. But now I don't think it's goals. I think it's intentions. So having the intentions, and the main reason why I'm kind of into changing it is because I write for women. And I find that when we're setting goals and getting all action-oriented, we're too much in our masculine energy, not in our feminine energy, which now I'm thinking bringing it into more of our feminine energy, which is more nurturing. So that step's going to change in the new book. But it doesn't really change. It's just like we do have to take action. And whether or not you set goals or you have an intention, we need to take action. And then after that, we've got healthy living. We need to look after our health. So that's to do with our diet, a healthy lifestyle, making great lifestyle choices. And that's to do with exercise, sleep, relaxation, all of that. Mindset, healthy mindset, how we think. And then the celebration of you, which isn't the last step. It's the center step. So everything revolves around that. But the celebration of who you are and celebrating what you do and what you achieve and all of that. So that's the seven steps.
That's excellent. So when you're talking about the seven steps, that's just for women, or for our men listening out there, is there anything that you would probably add for them?
No, I mean, the seven steps will work for anyone. I specifically wrote it for women. And as I said, the step about goals, I think, is very much a masculine thing. And I think men are more a bit more structured than women. I mean, women are still structured, but I think, you know, having goals works better for men than it does for women. Sometimes women can kind of, they don't like being told what to do. And I'm very much about making sure we're nurturing our feminine energy, because in business quite often women are very much, they spend a lot of time in their masculine energy. And that's what causes stress, because they're in the masculine of the action and the doing all of the time, but they're not nurturing. But men need to do that too. I mean, men need to actually embrace their feminine energy, which is nurturing. So it does need to, it's all about harmony, you know, making it all work together. So, but the seven steps, you know, having, you know, knowing your values, being your vision, having goals, eating well, living well, thinking well, and celebration works for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, we have another Facebook question here, which you may be able to help. Sonia Grosser, who is the owner at My Green Soapbox, she's said that she's constantly checking whether or not she's on the right path. How do I make money from something I'm passionate about, but still being able to focus given she has skills in such a diverse area. And she wrote that, I was reflecting on that myself, and I thought there are a lot of people out there who they're very skilled in a wide range of areas, and how do you actually focus, because you may be passionate about three or four areas, how do you actually choose?
Oh, this is just such an apt question for me, because this is me all over. It's totally me all over. You know, yes, I'm a naturopath. Like, I'm a qualified accountant. I'm a qualified naturopath. I also do a technique called the Lifeline Technique, which is a bit like kinesiology. I'm trained in NLP. I've got all these different skills, and I do business coaching. I do lifestyle coaching. I do stress coaching. I do health coaching. I've got all this stuff. And you sit there going, okay, so what am I going to do? How am I going to make it all work together? And I don't know if I'm the right person to ask this question, because I do chop and change a lot. And one of the beauties of being in business for yourself is you can do that. But it does actually give a really mixed message out to the world. So this year what I've done is I've totally focused on stress. Now, I still do business coaching on the side. I coach other natural therapists, but that's not something that I openly market to the open world. I'm part of a small group on Facebook with other naturopaths. So they know I do coaching, but the rest of the world kind of doesn't. So I focus totally on what I do with stress. Now, with all the other skills that I've got, and this was a big thing for me, is like I gave up the labels. So the label of being a naturopath, the label of being an NLP practitioner, the label of being a certified Lifeline practitioner, I gave up the labels and went to, well, what solutions can I provide? What can I do? Who do I want to work with? So I want to work with female entrepreneurs who are stressed and overwhelmed. That's who I want to work with. What's their biggest problem? Their biggest problem is that they're not looking after themselves. They're putting all of their energy into their business. They're not having fun. And that I know that that's going to impact their health. What do they want? I know that they want freedom. They want flexibility. So what I do now is I work with female entrepreneurs who are stressed and overwhelmed, and I show them how it is possible to run a business without all the stress so they can enjoy their life. I have not said who I am, well, what my qualifications are, what my tools are, because when they start to work with me, I will use whichever tool that I require that they require at that time. If they need herbs, I'll give them herbs. If they need a Lifeline session, I'll give them a Lifeline session. If they just need to talk, I'll do that as well. So rather than focusing on what it is, so the labels, I focus on who I help, who I serve, and what results I can give them. And that by doing that, that's my passion. My passion, you know, yeah, I like being a naturopath. I like using herbs. That's not my passion. My passion is helping women be the best versions of themselves. I've got tools that I know that if they used, they could be the best version of themselves. And the original part of your question was, how do you know if you're on the right path? You know when you're on the right path when you listen inside, and that's where you need to shut off the head and listen to the heart. Because the answer to everything you already have, it's inside of you. And this is one of my big things I say all the time, and I totally believe this, and it's taken me a long time to believe this and also to trust it, is that you already know the answers, but you just got to trust it, because yes, we doubt ourselves all the time. And we listen to everybody else. We go out there and we do all of these programs and, you know, work with coaches. And it's great. I mean, I work with coaches. I've got fantastic coaches. I am a coach. But you still just have to listen to what feels right inside of you. So I'm very kinesthetic. So it's very much feeling. Other people who are visual is probably what they can see, what they can see in their imagination, what they see as being right for them. But it's really from a gut point of view, just knowing that that's right. And also know that if there's something, if you've got a message that you have to deliver, there's someone that needs to hear it. Because right, if otherwise, you wouldn't have been given that message. The universe gives you what you need. And knowing whether or not it's universe, source, whoever you're talking to, whatever you believe in, you wouldn't have been given that desire to do that unless there were people out there that needed it. You just need to go and find them. Did that answer the question?
That does, and that's great advice. Absolutely wonderful. We've got another Facebook question, if you're still up for all these questions.
Go for it.
Sharon Smart from Smarties Bobcat and Tipper Hire just outside Brisbane. that great little business. Listen, she wants to know how to stop the stress when hiring new employees and expanding the business. And I guess what she's talking about is when you have that external stress. We've been talking a lot about the internal stress and how our bodies reflect all that. When you have outside people who are bringing stress into your lives, how do you deal with that?
Okay.
How do you get the emotion out?
Number one, no one else brings stress into your life. You accept stress into your life. So, and what I mean by this is quite often we worry, well, you know, we allow other people to influence us. Now, have you heard of Byron Katie, the work of Byron
Katie?
No. Okay, so Byron Katie, she has this thing, it's called The Work, it's really simple. But she wrote a book called Loving What Is, and this has been the core of everything. When I heard about this and I learned this and I listened to her and I read her books and learned all this stuff, I went, this is it. It's accepting what is. Stress happens when our reality doesn't meet our expectations. So, you know, when we go out and we build a team, we have an expectation that someone will do something. The reality is that they don't. We get stressed because they're not meeting the expectation. So we've got a couple of things we can do. We either change it, because the reality is the reality. We can't change the reality. We can either change our expectation, or we can communicate with them to find out what it is, because maybe they are actually thinking that they are meeting the expectation. Because quite often there's a lack of communication going on. And the other work of Byron Katie is My Business, Your Business, Universal Business. So the only thing I am responsible for is my business, my reaction, what I do. But we spend all of our time over in your business, worrying about what you think, what you're doing, judging you. And that's what we do. Many people as humans, that's what we do, is we worry about what everybody else thinks, what everybody else is doing, but we're not actually looking at what we're doing. We also try to dabble in universal business. Now, the universal business is that what will happen, you know, the sun comes up, the moon goes down, you know, the flowers bloom, the grass grows, all of that, all universal business. So we start focusing on what's our responsibility. So when you said when other people bring stress into you, they don't bring stress into you. It's your business whether or not you get stressed or not, because it's how you react. Because I could put two people in the same situation, one person could get stressed and one person could think it was fantastic. Yes. So it's the exact same situation. So you bring stress in. But when it comes to building a team and things like this, this is why it's important that you're really clear on your values. Because when you're clear on your values and you're living your values, you're going to attract people, clients, team, people around you who've got similar values. But if you're bringing people into your business who don't have the same values as you, and they don't have to be exactly the same, but, you know, values that are in line with yours, there's going to be a clash because you're not working towards the same thing. One person's trying to get one thing out of life and another person's trying to get another. And if they're that far apart, they're never going to come together. And you can't expect them to, and you can't expect other people to have your values, because, you know, that's being in their business. Get back into your business. Are you living your values? You know, and the person I was speaking about before, when I was having a chat to her, when I said, you know, because she's having issues with staff, she says, and I'm going out and seek, and I'm trying to find people, and the people who are coming to me, she says, oh, they're just not what I want. And when I said, well, are you living, you know, where are you not living your values? Are you living your values? And she said, oh, no, I'm not. And I said, well, that's why you can't attract people who have the same values as you, because you're not actually living them. When you start living your values and really bringing everything into your business that's around your values, you're going to attract people who have the same values. At the moment, you're sending mixed messages out there, so you're getting, you know, people who don't really want to work and just take come and see you, because if they don't come and see you, they don't get their dole and things like that. It's like, it's all of this stuff comes back to who you are and the way you look at things and your choices and the messages. And some of this is a bit woo-woo, so the energies that you're putting out there, but it so totally works that when you're putting out these energies and the messages on an energetic level, that you will attract back what you're putting out. But if you're putting out confusion, not sure, that's what you're going to attract. And once you have this team, it's about supporting a team and allowing them to, you know, being really clear what your values are, what's important to you, what's important to your personal values and your business values. What are the values of this business? And if you're not going to live the values, or, you know, work in the values of this business, well, then this might not be the right business for you. So I think there's a bit of communication, Angela, in there.
So, Angela, are you saying that you need to have the same personal values and business values, or is it okay to – do they just have to integrate with each other, or is it okay to have two completely separate, not that I –
I don't think it's possible to be completely separate. I think it's just going to cause too much stress, because really, you know, I know there's people that go and buy businesses, like they go and buy a franchise, but in essence what they're doing is really buying themselves a job. But people who start their own business because they've got a passion, because they've got a message to share, that's based on their values. For me, I think it's very hard to have business and personal values that are totally different. I just don't know that it's going to work, because it's going to cause stress. Because if your business values are totally not in alignment with your personal values, you're going to be stressed the whole time you're in your business. I think they have to be. And there may be some additional business values that go on top of your personal values, but they're going to be in alignment there somewhere. Because otherwise that's just going to cause you stress.
Yes. That's really interesting, Angela. Just recently, I had an argument with somebody, and we had a discussion, and there was a lot of miscommunication on both parts, which, you know, we recognized. Now, it took me, I was driving an hour, I was an hour away and coming to Brisbane, and it took me an hour of just basically giving gratitude, thinking about this person and everything that they did that was just wonderful, giving gratitude to them, and which helped me. But when I got to that person, they were still in the same place. And when you say to somebody, look, you have two choices, you can communicate, we can talk about it sensibly, or you can let it go, and they can't let it go. Now, that was my way, obviously. That's something that works for me, giving gratitude, and it helps me focus on the better things in a person. But do you have any strategies that people can use who are not as self-aware or are not practiced in doing something every day to you know, let go of those emotions?
Okay, so number one, whether the other person's got over it or not is not your business. So really, just that's their stuff. So you let that go. But what I do, and really, really simple, a part of the Lifeline technique is something which we say the words infinite love and gratitude. And we actually have a hand mudra, which means love. But you just put your hand on your heart and just go, and you don't even have to say infinite love and gratitude. You could just say love, love, love. And what that does is just change your energy. And when you've changed your energy, you're putting a different energy out to the world. And if, you know, and that's really simple for anyone who's not quite, you know, this stuff I'm talking about, they're not quite there. Even if you just stand there with your hand on your heart, when you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling stressed or you're feeling angry at someone else, stand there going, oh, breathe, big deep breath, love, love, love. And you will just find that you just calm down and you just let things go. Because before, I said we can't sit in fear and love at the same time. So if we just keep saying love and we're in our conscious mind, that gets down to our subconscious mind and it just says, okay, fine, well, I have nothing to be afraid of, because people who are defensive, people who are arguing, whatever, it's only about fear for them. You know, when someone doesn't agree with you, they're afraid. They're afraid that you don't like them. They're afraid that you don't agree with them. And both of you were seeing, if you're both arguing, you both had the same fear. You had a fear that the other person wasn't listening, wouldn't accept you, or whatever. There was a fear there. That's why you got into an argument. But, and you walked away, and you actually, to say that if you took you an hour, you obviously, I don't know how angry you were, because you should be able to do that in a couple of minutes.
It was just the drive was an hour long. Yeah. If it had been an hour, you know.
Yeah, because that's the other thing, though, is sometimes we stick in the past. And yes, this is what true. A lot of people do, is that they rehash the whole conversation. Oh, and I should have said that. And this would have happened. And I do that. I used to do that a lot when I worked in corporate. And you have to have whole conversations all the way to work. I'd have a complete argument in the car with my whole team, and I was the only one there. And by the time I walked in, I was so fired up because I was going, and they had no idea because I would just blast. They didn't know the conversation I'd had in my head all the way to work. And that's how I used to operate. It's like I just churned myself up. But, you know, now it's like, okay. And look, sometimes I still get it, but as soon as I start to notice that I'm rehashing things and saying, oh, I could have done this, I could have done this, I could have done this, I immediately go into infinite love and gratitude, because that pulls me present. And I just go infinite love and gratitude, infinite love and gratitude, infinite love and gratitude. If my head continues to spin, infinite love and gratitude until my head just stops, and then I can take a big deep breath, and then I'm in this moment and go forward. Because it's really about getting out of that. And then if someone is still in that argument, then they're still in the past. And you really can't do anything about that, because it's up to them to pull themselves present. But if you become present, your energy will actually, that ripple effect will occur, and they will get that energy eventually.
That's right. That's great advice, Angela. Now, you've got an entrepreneur's retreat on November the 16th to the 18th. We've got a couple of minutes left. Yes. Tell us all about it.
So the Entrepreneur's Retreat is designed to take women out of their business to really, you know, reconnect to what's really important to them, their values, create their big vision, and just to actually stop and slow down. And when they stop and slow down, then they'll actually find that they find the solution. But so many women are getting stuck and doing the same thing over and over again, and nothing's changing. So the idea of the retreat for 2 days, we're in the bush, absolutely beautiful. We've got yoga, gorgeous food, vegetarian, plant-based food. Absolutely stunning. It's in Sydney, so it is just outside of Sydney. And really, it's just a time to stop, get some clarity, get unstuck, and then go back out into your business with a new, renewed energy, because you've filled up your energy bucket and you've got all this new, you know, this great energy for what you want going forward.
It's absolutely wonderful. It sounds like an amazing retreat. And how can people actually find more information on it?
Okay, so my website is www.angelacouncil.com. And on the front page, there is a link from the front page that goes over to the Entrepreneurs Retreat. But while you're on there, if anyone wants it, you can actually pick up a free 14 free stress-free living tips, which is a series of 14 short videos with different tips every single day on how you can reduce stress in your life. And that's the opt-in on the front of my website.
And you are also being very generous today, Angela. You're offering listeners a copy of the e-version of your Amazon Secret Mum's Business book.
Yes.
And where can they download their copy for that?
Okay, so that is, and I'll just quickly check that is Angela Council, because I actually just set up a new link for that, and it's called
secretmumsbusiness.net.au.
I've actually moved it over to my website. Just give me 2 seconds.
We can pop that in the show notes anyway.
Yeah, so yeah, I think it's angelacouncil.com/SMB www.ingridmcdonald.com/ebook.
Thank you so much for that, Angela. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people wanting that. Thanks so much for being a guest on our show. We've loved having you.
That's been great to be here.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today.